at Luke chapter 1. I was, saying this to somebody. Well, I've said it to a lot of people this week. I know what it was. On Easter, I was just seeking the Lord about, you know, the Easter sermon, what we would do. And I always try to go to the passage that's just next in our study. And for those of you who are guests, and by the way, welcome guests. We have several guests with us this morning, and a lot with Brother Pedro, who's going to be baptized this morning at the end of the service. And so welcome. I hope you all already feel encouraged today. We're blessed to have you with us. And other guests, we're going through the book of Luke. And so we're still in chapter 1. There's a lot of verses in chapter 1, so we'll be here for a few more sermons, I think. But on Easter, I was seeking the Lord, okay, what would you have us to do? And the Lord, it was amazing how God put it all together that we were able to just stay in the passage that we're studying through the book of Luke and preach about the resurrection, because it was right there. And predicting that Jesus Christ would be eternal. He would be forever and ever. You know why he would be our Savior and would be forever? His throne would be forever and ever, because he raised from the dead. Amen. And so yeah. Praise God for that. And so this morning I was seeking the Lord, this week rather, about Mother's Day and what God would have us to do. And I want you to look at verse number 43 with me, and then we'll read our whole text, which is 39 through 45. But look at 43. This is Elizabeth talking to Mary. "And whence is this to me," Elizabeth says, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Isn't that amazing? That right in the passage that we're studying, this is the next section of Scripture, that it would be a reference directly to the call of God on Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus. Amen. And so there's a great calling in her life, but let me say, mothers, there's a great calling in your life. And so let's look at that. Verse 39 through 45, follow along. "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." This is John the Baptist. "Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Again, the message this morning is mothers chosen by God. Father, we need you. We pray your help today. I pray your power in the message. Lord, your people need to hear from you. And so I pray for your grace. Help us, fill us. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was in college, I was over the junior church of our church. I'd been involved some with the kids, and I enjoyed working with the kids, but until I was in Bible college and training to be a pastor and trying to learn how to minister, I'd never really been interested in teaching or preaching or being connected to ministry like I was then. And so my pastor asked me if I would be over the junior church, so I embraced that role. Of course, I'm young. I'm in my early 20s. I have a lot of energy, and I have a lot of excitement, and I have all of those things, but I also have a lot of ideas and what I would consider, in hindsight, some pretty weird ideas. You know, all in good, motives. You know, just, I'm not sure, you know, I would do it that way. But anyway, one of the ideas I had is we had once a month a visit from wisdom from an elder. That's what we called it. Wisdom from an elder. I can't remember what I called him. It was like Elder Tom or Bob. I wish I could remember his name, but I think I gave a silly name to him. And what I did is I went to the thrift store and I bought the oldest suit that I could find. And it was like bell bottoms. You know, it was like teal. The whole suit was teal, and it had the spiky, you know, lapel. So it was just like, or however it was. You know what I mean? Like flashback to the 70s. I mean, let's go. Here we are. I mean, so I got this suit on. It smelled too. So I'm like trying to figure out, you know, it's been in the thrift store for a couple of days. You know what I mean? So I have this suit on, and I also bought one of those shirts that had one of those tuft things in it. You know, so I had that thing going on, and I had a wig, And it was gray hair because, you know, elder. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go all the way with this. So I had the wig on and I got a cane. And, you know, and so I'm coming in there and I'm limping. And, you know, I mean, I'm not too far from this being actual reality for me. But anyway, irony in those days. But so I'm limping in there and I'm like, okay, kids, and I got wisdom from an elder. And I would just say something about the Word of God. And the kids loved it and we had a good time, just crazy stuff. I also learned how to do magic tricks because I wanted to, you know, maybe illustrate, you know, something I was preaching about. So I would, this was, by the way, this is before YouTube. You know, so I had to figure out how to do these things, like by actually going to the library and talking to people also about, you know, how to do this. So I would learn some magic tricks, and it was so fun to do that for the kids. They just were like, whoa, it was just amazing to them, you know, and I just was into it. I loved to minister to the children. I remember also those years doing that. That it wasn't just me that was ministering. It was, there was a team of us. So it was myself, another man, his name's George, he and I were the same age, and then there were two young ladies. We were all actually similar age, and all the four of us worked in the junior church, and we headed up the program. And once a month, we would get together on a Sunday night after church, and we would have a snack, and then we would have our junior church meeting, where we would plan the whole month. And it was in those meetings that we, you know, came up with the ideas about wisdom from an elder. And of course, we all voted, that's a great idea, you know, even though some of those maybe weren't so good ideas. But, you know, we would think of those ideas and we would think about the way that we would minister to the kids. And each one of the four of us had a particular role in the ministry of junior church. I would be the preacher and I would, you know, do certain things in leadership. And then one of the ladies would do a memory verse. And then, you know, there would be behind the scenes things that would take place. But all four of us had a role to fulfill. And each one of us loved that ministry. And each one of us were passionate about our role. And the ministry was successful in those years ministering to junior church. So that when we had a VBS, I mean, we had for our small church and the community that we lived in, we had, you know, up to like 50, 60, 70 kids that would show up to VBS, which again, it was a lot of kids. And it was just sort of a, you know, a pulse on how the ministry was operating. And I told you that because the family works like that. The family has different roles. The role of the husband and the role of the wife. Now, I want you to know that if you're a husband, then you have a role that God has given you in the home. And God has designed that you would fulfill that role. If you're a wife this morning, then that role was given to you by God. And you are in God's, under God's umbrella, you are called of Him to fulfill that role. Also, dads. We have dads that are here this morning. God gave you that role. It's your responsibility to be the dad that God has called you to be. Now, I think most of us men in here would admit, I've not been the husband I should be at times, and I've not been the dad that I should be at times. And we would admit that. And I can tell you this morning, often the reason why that's the case is because the devil has counterfeit roles. The devil has things that he wants to distract you from, dads, to keep you from fulfilling the role that God has called you to be. He's called you to be the husband of the home. And there are specifics related to that call and to that role. And it is our responsibility to embrace in obedience the role of the husband in the home, but also dad in the home. And so the devil has counterfeits, things that he puts in your path to steal your heart and to steal your attention away from what God has called you to be, a husband and a dad. And so our kids suffer because of that, don't they? Our kids suffer because we live in a world that is putting temptation and putting counterfeit in place to steal the heart and the attention of dad and husband away from the home. But the same is true for wives. Wives have a particular role. God has called you to fulfill that role as the wife in your home. And I want you to know the devil has a counterfeit. The devil wants to put something in your path and to take your attention away from what he has called you to be in that home as a wife. And if we're not careful, we'll bite onto that lure. And we'll realize, like we said in Sunday school, there was a hook in it. And that hook is pulling you away from God's path that God wants you to be on. And that's the role He's called you to, moms, or rather wives, but He's also called you to be a mom. He's called you to be in the role of being the umbrella over your children. And whenever, watch this, when each and every role in the home is functioning and operating the way that God designed it to function and operate, then what you have is a successful home, a peaceful home, a joyful home. And that's the way we want our homes to be. But what disrupts that is we get distracted. Our eyes get off of what our role is. And we get focused on these other things, and we're not fulfilling the role. And things get turned upside down and running backwards in the home. And we wonder I know something's wrong in my home. Something isn't right in my marriage. Something isn't right with my children. It's just things aren't right now. It's because we've been distracted from our roles. And things can't function and operate correctly when we're not thinking or operating in obedience to the role that God has called us to. And so we need to regroup. We need to be refocused back to where God wants us to be. Now, I want you to note that the reason why I'm talking about this is because God has called Mary to a very specific task. She's going to be the mother of the Savior. She is called of God to be the one who will raise the Messiah. She'll be the one who will bring the Messiah into the world, and she will be the one who will be His mother and raise Him. That's a very important calling of God. And mothers, you think about this calling. This is a very important calling and something to be taken serious, something to be embraced. And I'm thankful for Mary, because when God called her to this task, when God called her to this role, she in fact did embrace it. And she was looking forward to the role that God called her to. But I want you to see the power in the calling. Look at verse number 39 again. First of all, it says here that Mary arose in those days after God had visited her. Remember in the previous passages, and also God had visited Elizabeth through the Gabriel, the angel, saying, "You'll be with child." Then she arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. And so she took this journey into a mountainous region. Wherever she would have traversed from to wherever she was traversing to there in Judah, it would have been through a mountainous region. And however long it took to her to get there, she would have rushed to get there as quickly as she could. It says, with haste in verse 39. And then verse 40, look what it says. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And so she would have went to see Elizabeth. Why? Because she found that Elizabeth, who, by the way, isn't young like Mary, was called of God for a very specific role to be the mother of John the Baptist, even in her old age. And so she's with child of John the Baptist, and Mary wants to go to see, is this the case? Is God's promise something that I can be affirmed with? And so she goes with haste to see Elizabeth, shows up, and goes into the home, and then the Bible says she saluted her. Now that word salute doesn't mean that she walked into the house and did this. You know, like give her a good, erect salute. It doesn't mean that. It means that they embraced. And so there's a loving embrace that took place. And we'll see here in a minute that the child leapt in her womb. But before we get to that point, let me say that what is being demonstrated here is with this embrace is joy. And the reason why I'm coming down here is because I want to talk to you about this for a second. I want to talk to you about joy. God wants us to have joy in our home, okay? He wants us to have joy in our life. And if we're going to have joy in our home, then joy is going to need to take place in our heart first. It needs to start here. And the only source of joy for you is God. If you're looking for something out there in this world to give you joy, you'll never find it. What you'll find is pleasure, things that give you a kind of temporal, satisfaction or happiness, but it's something that only is circumstantial. When the circumstances change, then the joy isn't there. And so it's like a drug. You continue to look for the thing that's going to make you happy, because that's what often motivates us, is those pleasures or those happinesses in life. And what we don't realize is that joy comes from God, and it's not circumstantial. It starts within. It doesn't start from without. And so what God wants to do in your life is to bring joy to you. He wants to bring joy to you. And so this loving embrace between Elizabeth and Mary is a picture of the kind of joy and embrace that God wants us to live with in our life. Think about this with me. When you have joy, then what happens in life is it's in a sense like there's a loving embrace all around us. There's not a fight that's going on. You might turn me down or do something here. I got a little squeaky going on. That wasn't my voice. All right, so... but it's like in life, when our heart is where it needs to be, in life, what you'll find is you'll move from one step in life or one destination in life to another destination. And what God will do in you is He'll give you that love. He'll give you that joy through those embraces. And it's not as though, and I get it, some of us are like, okay, does that mean I need to hug people all the time? No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a walk with God that follows you from person to person, in relationship to relationship, and it's like infectious. It's when you get around other people, that joy, it sort of goes to other people. And you are attracted to other people who have that kind of joy. And listen, you know what can make you more discouraged or upset or down than almost anything else? It's when somebody you love is down. When you see somebody you love and they're discouraged, what that has a tendency to do is to cause us to be discouraged because we love that person. And so what God wants us to have is joy from within, and it starts with us. It starts with something God wants to do in us, an embrace of the work of God in us, learning to, by faith, trust Him and walk with Him so that as we're walking with Him and we come into the presence of God's people, there'll be an encouragement that'll take place, like a loving embrace. Yes. I want us to see that. I want us to see where it comes from. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. Amen. And He wants to do that in us. I wanted you to see that loving embrace. Look at verse number 41. It says, and it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And then it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that phrase there, that she was filled with the Holy Ghost, is very important. So the leaping in the womb is in a sense sort of an affirmation that God is at work here and God is revealing Himself here. But it's confirmed with this phrase that she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now here's what that tells you and me. What it's saying there is that everything that is taking place right here is from God. And so there's an affirmation here from God. God is affirming that He's working. God is affirming that there is a call from Him. There's a mission from Him. There's a task. And this isn't man-made. This is from God. Everything Elizabeth is going to say, because she's filled with the Holy Ghost, is from God. Okay, let's see what happens next. Verse 42. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So here she says, blessed art thou among women. So in a sense, what she's saying is affirming that Mary has been touched by God. Mary has been, or the Spirit of God has moved into the heart of Mary, and now she's with child of the Holy Ghost. She's been visited by the angel and heard a message from God. And Elizabeth here being filled with the Holy Ghost is affirming to Elizabeth that you've heard from God. That this isn't something that's man-made or something that cannot be trusted. This is something that's from God. God did this. And then she affirms again in verse 43, the mother of my Lord. And she's showing, really indicating her own unworthiness to be in the presence of the Lord. But she's, for Mary, affirming that you will be, as the angel said, the mother of the Lord. I hope you're seeing this morning, that God sent or ordained this meeting so that Mary could be affirmed. God wanted her to be affirmed. I want to show you one more thing before I say what's next. What's next? Verse 44. As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so there's an affirmation. There will be a performance of the things. God's going to do what He said He's going to do. Now, let's talk about us individually for a moment. As a church and individually, meaning all of us here this morning, we need affirmations from God. Let's just admit that. We have struggles. We have times when we doubt the things of God, the call of God, the direction that we're on in life. We want to trust God. We want to embrace His path. We want to be where He wants us to be. But we have seasons of doubt. And the devil wants us to have those times of doubt. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to wonder about the path that we're on. And so what we need is affirmations. And God wants us to be affirmed in Him. And so Mary here has been called of God for a particular role, a particular task. And now there's an affirmation that God brings to her that this is, in fact, the call of God. This is the role that God has placed on your life. And this is the way that I want you to go. And God wants to do that in our life, too. He wants us to be affirmed. He wants us to, He doesn't want us to be affirmed in sin or, you know, in a direction that we shouldn't be going. But God wants us to be affirmed in the direction He's calling us to. Can I say this morning, if you need to be saved, then there's conviction that takes place. And conviction isn't something that is man-made. It's not emotional. I mean, sometimes I think that we, you know, I think we sort of push things off as emotional. But conviction is not emotional. Conviction is when you know you need to be saved.
That's right.
Conviction is when you hear the gospel, and through the message of the gospel, the Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Okay, so there's a word that the word confess there has to do with admitting that we're a sinner. You know, and so we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, right? We get it. The scripture, that's the gospel. You confess with your mouth. But listen, the word confess, it's not just a word like to say the words. The word confess means to admit it. To admit what? He's already built the case all the way up to chapter 10 in Romans that you're a sinner. And that's the problem of mankind. The problem isn't like a small thing or that we made a mistake along the way. No. The problem is that we're sinners and our sin has separated us between us and God. And because of our sins, we fall short or come short of the glory of God. And so we can't have access to the Father. We're separated from Him, which means there's death. There's death in the spirit. If you were to die today, you would be separated from God for all of eternity. And of course, we talk about hell. We talk about the lake of fire. And we talk about what that means in life. But what I want you to understand about hell and the lake of fire and what makes hell what it is. It's not just the flames and the torment, although Jesus talked about that. And we know that the scripture talks about flames and the scripture talks about torment. And this is a reality of being or leaving this life and not having salvation and being separated from God. But do you know what is going to make hell what it is? Watch this. It's because God isn't there. That's what makes hell what it is. God isn't there. And the reason why mankind who will die and will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity isn't because God is mad, isn't because God hates people. No. As a matter of fact, the other side of that is true. The song we heard about, God loves you. In fact, He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's not like we deserve that. He made a way to have access to heaven, to be saved and to be redeemed and be bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. But this morning, listen, what makes hell hell is that God isn't there. And if you were to die today, you would be separated from God if you're not redeemed, if you're not born again, if you're not made alive, passing from death unto life, which is what Jesus said. If you need to be saved this morning, God will convict your soul and you can't escape it. Yeah. You're like, oh man, did we get one of these hellfire and brimstone preachers? Well, I guess so this morning. We need it. We need it sometimes, don't we? Just like this. Hey, listen, if you were to die today and you're not saved, you will be separated from God for all of eternity. What makes hell hell is God isn't there. That's what makes it a dark place. Okay? But you can be saved. You can be redeemed this morning. You can turn your heart to Christ. And what will happen this morning, if you're lost, if you're giving attention to the message, and you realize, okay, I'm a sinner, like I messed up a lot. Actually, I did a lot of sins. And if you're really honest about it, you would also admit that you don't deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve access to God. Even if you think you're a good person, you'll probably realize pretty quick, it doesn't matter how good you are. You can't earn access to heaven. By the way, good deeds don't erase bad ones. They don't erase them. It doesn't matter how good you are. You still have a stained record. And you'll have to pay the consequences of those sins in separation from God for all of eternity. And so you realize, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I've never been redeemed. I've never turned my heart to Christ. I've never given my all to Him and surrender. I've never asked Him for salvation, like with a repentant heart. I've never done that. Okay, so what does that mean? It means if you were to die today, that you would be separated from God. And you know what? The preacher just said that. Are you listening to me this morning? The preacher just said it. But you know, that's not what makes you convicted. That's not what makes you convicted. I can't convict any soul. If I would, then I would go around and I'd say, ooh, convicted, 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 convicted. Oh, you're convicted. I'm not God. I don't convict people. I preach the word. I tell people the truth. You know who convicts you? The Holy Spirit. Amen. He works. He touches. And He pricks you. And He tells you, this is you. You're a sinner. And you're lost. And you need to be saved. And if you're not redeemed, you'll be separated from God. And you'll leave this place. And woo, there's something stirring within there. As a matter of fact, some of y'all came to me the day you got saved. And you said, "Man, God's pressing me. God's pressing me." Whenever you say, Brother Richard said this, as a matter of fact, he said, "God's pressing me, Pastor, God's pressing me." And we talked for a little bit, and I shared the gospel, and then I said this with Brother Richard. I said this, "Hey, Brother Richard, whenever you said God's pressing you, did you mean God's talking to you?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "If God's talking to you, what's He saying?" Brother Richard said, "I need to be saved." Okay. So if you know you need to be saved, who's telling you that? It's not me. It's God. That's conviction. By the way, there's a big difference between thinking and knowing. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? I think so. I don't think that's good enough. Do you? What I want to say is, I know. But this morning, if you're under conviction and you're lost, it's like, I think I'm lost. No, 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 no. Conviction says, I know I'm lost. That's conviction. Are you lost this morning? Yes. How do you know? I just know. Because I'm convicted. Okay? So maybe you're, watch this. Where are you going with all this? Remember what God did for Mary? He affirmed that God was working. He brought affirmation. Do you know conviction and affirmation aren't the same? They're not the same. Conviction is God says, you can know. Affirmation is something you already know. God affirms it again. You already know, and now there's affirmation. I know that I know. That's affirmation. If you're convicted that you need to be saved, what God will do over and over and over again is He'll affirm to you that you need to be saved. You're never going to escape it. He's going to bring things along the way to remind you, oh, and remember what you've been running away from? Like Jonah trying to run away and you're going to get swallowed by a whale. Listen, you can't escape it. God's going to bring things in your life to affirm His message to you. You need to be saved.
Amen.
You're lost. If you die today, you'll be separated from God for all of eternity in darkness. That's true.
Amen.
And it might be true for you. And so there's an affirmation that takes place. Did you know if you're already saved, you can know the path that God wants you to be on, but God wants to affirm that in you? You already know. But then we have doubts, don't we? And we struggle. Is this only relative to certain people here? No, God works in all of us, and so what that means is we all get off track. We all get off the path God wants us to be on, and so we know where He wants us to be. We've already been convicted about it, and so we come into the presence. The Word of God is delivered, and you're like, man, I needed that. And God, what He's doing is He's affirming that He's still there and He never left you. And He's touching you again. Again. That's affirmation. Mary already knew that she would be with child. She already knew that she was touched by God. She already knew she would be the mother of the Messiah. But now God brought Elizabeth into her path. And Elizabeth is saying, "You're blessed of the Lord. You're the mother of my Lord. You're the one who is going to see God perform the promise." These are all affirmations of what Mary already knew. Now, here's where we're actually going. We're kind of getting to the bottom of the funnel now, because we're pouring all this into the funnel. You know how funnels work. And what's going to come out of the end? Here we are. Moms. Moms. The last time mom spanked me, I was 16 years old. I told this story, I got to tell you again. 16. Remember that story? I got to say it again. I had a real bad attitude problem when I was 16. And I don't remember what I did initially to bring this spanking on. Okay? Mom, 16-year-old, she's going to spank me, right? Like, no, this is like for real. Not like a mom spanking, you know? No. I mean, this is like, it went dark for a little bit. You know what I mean? So she laid in. And I was just like, you just lay on the bed. So we're going to go for it. You know what I mean? I'm just laying on the bed. She spanked me. And then I'm like, I was like, I am 16. I cannot believe you did that. You know what I mean? It's what I was, I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. And so we came out of the room after this, and Mom wanted me to take my clothes and put it in the dirty clothes area. And I took those clothes and I just dropped them on the floor right in front of her. Like, oh yeah, take that. She goes, oh, well, let's just go right back in the room. And I was like, oh Mom, I'm sorry, no, no, nope. Back into the room. And then I woke up like 3 days later. So it was for real. I mean, the second time was way worse. You know, Mom read the Bible every day out loud. She read the Bible. I remember that. Whether I liked it or not, she's like, sit down. This is where I relate to Andrew, my third. He's like every morning, it's like trying to, got to have a spatula to get him out of bed, you know? And that's how I was. And I would walk around the house with the blanket and we'd sit down. And I just remember she read the Bible every day. I remember that. Mom was my biggest fan. When I surrendered to be in the ministry, Mom was just, she was there all the time, you know, to encourage and to, you know, to lift up, to be a mom. And I remember that. God, moms, listen. God has called you to a task. Only you can do it. If you are mom this morning, you're the only one who can be mom for your kids. You're the only one. Because anyone else who tries to fill that role, they can't reach it. They can't do it. It's a special task that God has for you. Amen. And you're the only one who can do it. That's the call He has for you. It's a precious call. And you know what God wants to do in your heart this morning, moms? Listen. He wants to affirm you. Because you already know. He wants to affirm you in this call. Because what ends up happening is we get distracted. Listen. We get distracted so that we're not fulfilling our role as mom. We want to do this and we want to take care of this and we have all these responsibilities and we have all of these tasks. Listen, all these tasks that we need to take care of. And what ends up happening is that job, that role as mom that only you can do, we just sort of set it aside. And what will end up happening, watch, is you'll live your life and you'll keep pushing the kids to the side. And then they'll grow up. And then you'll realize, I missed it. I missed being the mom that my children needed. This morning, my encouragement to you is to embrace the role. To ask God to help you to be affirmed in the role, the task, the call that He's called you to, and only you can fulfill, to be the mother of your children. That call is from God, and you're the only one who can do it. Think with me, would you? We're almost done. Mary was visited of the angel. She's going to be with child of the Holy Ghost. She's going to raise Jesus, the Savior. That's an important job, wouldn't you say? You know what Mary can't afford to do? Is to take Jesus and set Him aside. Because she has other things to take care of. She has other things to do. She doesn't really have time to be the mom. She's going to fulfill these roles. No. She's called to this task. This is her role. And Mary says, I'll embrace this. I'll be the mother. So it's time for us, I think, this morning to embrace, re-embrace, to be affirmed, to be reaffirmed in the role that He's called for you. I told you about the last time Mom spanked me. I remember in college, Mom did my homework one time. I'm embarrassed to tell you that. Her name needed to be on that diploma a little bit, I think, you know. She helped me with a project. And I remembered because it was actually due the next day, and I had quite a bit of work to do, and I knew I was going to be pulling an all-nighter. Yes, I procrastinated. And it was an all-nighter. It wasn't really a hard project, but it needed to be completed, and it was a work all night kind of thing. And I remembered waking up at like 4 in the morning because I had worked on it. And then Mom says, you go rest for a little bit. It's getting close. It's like middle of the night, midnight or something. And she says, you go rest and I'll work on this for a little bit. And I woke up 4 in the morning, and Mom was over there working on it. I remember seeing that. And I think, you know what? I think there's only one person in the world that would do that. Mom. The only one. God's given you a responsibility, a role. Only you can do it. Just you. Let's not push it aside. Let's be affirmed, reaffirmed, and embrace it. And ask God to help us to be what He wants us to be.